My name is Bob Spencer. I work in Intel in the Open Source Technology Center. And my primary role has been helping with the Tizen SDK and the developer story, trying to make sure that the tools are robust enough and simple enough and have enough features for application developers to come into, and the website really, the whole approach, to come into the Tizen project, understand what it takes to create applications for Tizen from the very beginning to getting them into a store and hopefully becoming independently wealthy on their apps. I'm going to talk today specifically about IVI. We've heard from the keynote sessions about a lot of the great things that have been happening. Looking at the other tracks in the IVI, on the IVI topic, there's a lot of other great things that will be described. So my plan is to touch briefly on some of the things that they're going to discuss, but to not take too much of their fire so that you can learn the details from them. The state of IVI. So last year, we were just releasing, I believe we were right around 2.2.1. Since then, a lot has happened. A lot of great things have been happening, especially in IVI. A lot of changes have happened, a lot of new features. We heard today of some very exciting announcements about products being launched. Those products are currently based on a 2.x based Tizen system, so taking the 2.2.1 release from last year and adding incremental features to that to support these exciting products. In parallel to that work, which will probably go to 2.3, maybe 2.4, depending on what makes sense in that direction, in parallel, there has been work on 3.0. And there's some bigger leaps that have been taken, some more liberty to try to get some exciting things into 3.0. I'll talk a little bit about some of those changes. They include Wayland, a different runtime engine, and then some additional APIs and features. Tizen IVI is based on the Tizen 3.0 framework. There is currently what we call Tizen 3.0 Common, which is the reference platform or implementation that we expect the Tizen 3.0 based devices in the future to be based to start from. And Tizen IVI is the first one right now that is based on 3.0. Then the second part I'd like to go over specifically the features that have been added to the Tizen SDK for IVI application development. And those features are really targeted toward web application developers. So talking about the features that are added, and then we'll walk through a little bit of debugging briefly just to give you an example of what could be done on your system and with a device. All right, those in the room are probably familiar with this these features. Right now, your automobile is very, the capabilities are unrealized in cars compared to the technology that's available. And the IVI program aims to make those features reality. We want to give you a lot more than you experience today, from the capabilities in the car, multimedia experience, the audio experience, the communication between devices within the car, in addition to the sensors that are available on the car, so that from the console, there's thousands of things that can be discovered about what's going on in the car, the seat belts that are in, the openness of windows, your trunks, all the things that are just very minimally available today we want to make accessible and available to applications. But then extending on to the person. So mobile devices now are the new norm. Everyone has a communication device. If you can't reach your friend, it's frustrating because you expect that they would have a phone. We want to tie in that experience to the car. So things that are personal to you that are on your phone can be available when you enter your car according to how you set it up, your contacts, your music, your multimedia, in addition to connecting to the cloud when you pull your car into your garage, to connecting to the latest news feed or the movies that you've recorded or whatever to the multimedia system there. So there's a lot of exciting things that can happen in the car. Land Rover here has a car where they're starting to showcase some of those things. It's fun to go sit in there and see the kinds of things that you can see from the instruments that are on the car. And I think as they talked about the Internet of Things in the keynote, what we can think of right now is only just a thin amount of what can be done once people have these capabilities and have these tools. So it's exciting to open this up and start to see what innovation can happen. This is a snapshot of the Tizen architecture today, and I'll go over briefly some of the main components, but there's a lot that has been done in the core around working on Fastboot. For example, they wanted, as mentioned, to have a 2-second camera in the back for backing up from turn on to camera, 5 to 7 seconds for the HMI to be available in the car. There's been a lot of work on the audio subsystem and multimedia to increase the capabilities for having multi-zones and multi-users logged in simultaneously. Security for your content as well as the controls in the car and making sure all of that is robust and ready for production. I'll go into a little bit more detail about the web runtime and what changes have gone in there. And then this is really for the application developer. We have basically three groups of APIs that I'll describe, from W3C standard HTML5 APIs to the vehicle APIs, which are the sensor information from the car, to device APIs, which lets web applications get to the hardware information that's available. So one of the main things in the core is the availability of an alternate to the X window subsystem called Wayland. The reason that this was introduced into 3.0 was for the additional flexibility and lighter, so you get more features and some lighter inter-process communication. So we have aggressive goals for startup as well as the multimedia requirements for cars. And Wayland has been found to be an excellent alternative to what we previously are using with X. IVI is fully based on this. Tizen 3.0 Common is still in discussion about how perhaps having both options for backward compatibility, but IVI will be based purely on Wayland. For web application development, from the very beginning of the Tizen project, one of the primary goals has been exceptional web experience from the browser to web applications. We want to have the leading edge features, those things that make web applications the most exciting. We also want to have a close tie-in to standards, and many that are participating in the Tizen project that are intimate with the development of Tizen are also maintainers or members of standards bodies working on those standards together to make sure that Tizen has a very compelling story with regard to web application development. Tizen 2.1 is based on the WebKit 2, and with an EFL implementation. Tizen 3.0 will be using Crosswalk, which is a Chromium Blink, leverages Chromium and Blink and extends that. But the goal, I'll talk more about Crosswalk, the goal really is to ensure that we have, that we're following and embracing all of the exciting things that are happening with HTML5 and W3C. Okay, Crosswalk is an open source project, fully open, and it takes the regular releases of Chromium and then extends it with exciting features and tailors it specific for the profile that's being worked on. So it has regular releases every 6 weeks. It continues to follow upstream progress. It's open in that the changes and enhancements that are made are promoted and implemented upstream. We have maintainers in Blink that are working on Crosswalk. We're closely tied into with the progress that's going on there. We felt that the innovation and the direction that was being taken with Chrome and Chromium aligned well with our goals and motivation, while still enabling us to follow the standards and get the cutting edge features at the same time. There's a couple of new features. There's a handful. I put a couple here that are added on top of that. A presentation API for web application developers that allows you to take advantage of remote displays using technologies such as WiDi, as well as capability of leveraging SIMD. There's a JavaScript layer that lets web applications that would benefit from the CMD capability in the CPU. To leverage that, it allows multiple instructions to be executed in parallel. So for a more complex application, instead of having to write, often in the past you would have to write a native component to do some of the harder work and have a hybrid application, some of that can be bypassed now by leveraging SIMD and you get better performance. Close integration with allowing you to use Cordova plugins, and if you're familiar with the Intel XDK is a web application developer tool, you can use that tool to create web applications bundled with the Crosswalk runtime that you can then deploy to an Android, the Android store. You can use that same tool to create ARM and x86-based versions of your application and can be used to create applications for Tizen also. All right, that's the W3C HTML5 API set block. Now, if you're familiar with Tizen Mobile, you would see this slide as being familiar. Last conference, we talked a lot about this and gave a long description of these APIs, and I won't go into great detail. But the Tizen, the device API allows web applications to get the information from the hardware. And it's the same device API that's available in the mobile space, in the mobile profile. So applications that have been written for a phone can then be quickly ported to work in a system such as IVI to get information about the file system, communication, contents, the things that used to only be available to native applications are available now to web applications. And the description of these is in the Tizen documentation online, so you can go and get and read all about all of the details about that. It's a fairly mature API now. It's been around, I think we've had it about 18 months. In addition to the mobile device API that's available is the Tizen vehicle API. And this is everything that your app could possibly want to know about what's happening in the car. And and can then react to that thing. I don't know exactly why your application would need to know that the steering wheel is turning, but you can find out that it is, or find out if a window is open or that the backlight is out or things like that. All of this sensor information is available to the web application. This API is not yet online, but it is in the SDK, so you can find it in the SDK, and we'll try to get it online for easier browsing and looking through that. Okay, now I'd like to talk a little bit about the Tizen SDK. So there have been some enhancements to the SDK specific to IVI. Last year, we basically had one SDK. We had one target, which was mobile. And now, as you've heard, there are a number of targets. This required us to make sure that we scale. So what we've done is we have the core SDK with profiles. We have the mobile profile, there's a wearable profile, there's an IVI profile. And this adds, if you're familiar with the SDK, it's an Eclipse-based tool. A profile adds the perspectives and views and tools to that, to the existing Eclipse install that you have for that specific target. And along those lines, the profiles align with how the compliance program also works, where you'd have specific requirements for API sets based on a target, such as mobile or IVI or wearable. To install, you can start from scratch, or if you already have the mobile version of the SDK, you can go out and run the install manager again and just add the IVI component. There's a long link to how to get to the exact location, so the easiest way I found is just if you go to the wiki right now, you can get all the information you need going to the in-vehicle infotainment link, and then that will give you all about how to build the images for IVI, how to set up your hardware, if you have a hardware device, which you will, the Nook, the NUC that is available to you today will be able to run the images, the IVI images, as well as the Tizen 3.0 common image. If you are ready to install the components for the SDK, there's a link there, and then What you'll do, if you already have it installed, you just need to check an extra couple of boxes as described in the page, and that will add the IVI specific components. I'll show you a couple of the features, but basically there's some templates, help, some features in the web simulator, and emulator image, and I'll demonstrate those here in just a minute. Okay, the steps for application development, I won't go in great detail here because we've done this before. There's also other sessions that talk about application development, including a long one at the end. So if you're new to that, they'll walk you through these steps. Installing the SDK, creating your application. If you're doing an IVI application, it helps to start with a template because it gives you some examples of how to listen to sensors on the car or how to use the device API. There's some components of your application that are important. If you're using the SDK, there's really a couple of files that you need for the Eclipse portion of it. And there's documentation online that will walk you through step-by-step how to take an existing web application, if perhaps you've written a web app for another target, and how to add the components to have it available in the SDK. So I won't go over into detail, but you'll need a project file, and you'll need to make sure that your config.xml is set up correctly. Features and privileges, I'll show in the actual SDK in just a second. And then you package your application. You can build it right there. You can deploy it to your hardware. You can deploy it to an image that's running on your system, or you can run your application in a browser-based simulator. Again, let me get to the SDK, and then we can walk through these, and I'll come back and make sure that I've covered each of these. So my screen is in this page isn't one-to-one with this one, so hopefully I'm not cutting anything important off, but this is a view of the Tizen SDK, and it has a couple of projects loaded on the left. There's the Ghost cluster is one of the templates you can install, and the Modelo component is also described in another session in detail. That's the one you've probably seen around, like at the car, that's this blue screen with a car on it and the sensor showing on there. The features of the SDK that are specific to Tizen IVI, if you create a new project, it has a few basic IVI specific 3.0 components, and then it has a few applications here that you can get started with. In addition, in the help, there's integration and context sensitive help that's available for the API set. So what I found to be the most useful is just to search and put the help over here and change my scope. So if I was looking for something, vehicle, it won't give me a bunch of things that are somewhere else in the Eclipse. There's a lot of documentation in Eclipse. So if you're working on a specific thing, I recommend that you set your scope to not show all topics, but pick the one you're working on. And then inside the help, you can jump to, this is for the vehicle API for all the sensors. You can get examples for how to listen to any of the things that are available from that long list of APIs. All right. There's also some features in the simulator, so let me go through that. So you have a project such as Ghost Cluster that you've built, and there's three things you can do for debugging or working through your project. So you've got your source here, and you have a lot of tools. I won't go into all of the tools. Again, there's a long session about all of the features. There's a rich feature set in the Tizen SDK. But let me show the features for IVI. So I'm going to run my application as a web simulator application, and that will bring up a Chrome or Chromium. It will use the, if you have Chrome installed on your system, it uses Chrome, or if not, it will. When you're doing the install, it will install Chromium on your system-based web runtime environment. And this is my application here on the right, and then some features that have been added for the IVI profile that aren't in the mobile profile would be the ability to tinker with the settings so that your application, if it's listening to certain things, can receive information through the simulator. There's also here an auto running, so it will send random numbers into your application, and you can you can set breakpoints and debug it. So the things here on the left are things that have been added. At this point in my application, if I wanted to, I wanted to see what happens when the speed changes. You can use the Chrome Dev Tools for those who are familiar with that. And to get to those, you hit F12. It will pull up the Chrome Dev Tools, and now you have the ability to. I'll just show a couple of things. So under the elements, you can see sections of your application, and you can set breakpoints on sections of the application based on DOM changing. You can look at the source. So we had that the simulator is sending in different vehicle speed changes, and here's my source where I'm listening for the speed change, so I can set a breakpoint there in the JavaScript code. And now I have, over here, I can look at all the variables just like a nice debugger. So the Chrome Dev Tools are a very nice feature to, hopefully web application developers are well familiar with them, but now I can walk through my JavaScript and see what's happening. And I can see the changes in the UI as I'm stepping through my code. And you can change, the majority of those APIs, the vehicle APIs are supported here. It's just a long list of toggles that you can go and set your values, and then over here you can see the changes, like our gear is changing when we're changing it because our application is listening for that. It would behave the same in the car. So if you put this application running on an IVI hardware in the car, then you know that it will work. Let me make sure. Templates help, web simulator, IVI image. Okay. So that's one of three ways you can debug. That's the fastest way for simple changes. You may have an application that requires you to have a little closer tie into real hardware. One option is a virtual machine, and the IVI SDK profile has an image for IVI, the IVI system that boots the full stack in the emulator using QEMU. It's nice in that even the SDK working on Windows and Mac has the same features, and with the hardware acceleration manager that's installed as part of the SDK, the performance is pretty impressive on those systems. So this is the emulator manager, and here I've created one new image based on IVI that's been added, and I can boot to the IVI system. I don't have a fancy HMI here that we'll add soon, but once we have a cool graphical UI, it would show up there just like it would elsewhere. And now you'll see over in the SDK, this in the Connection Explorer, you have a new target, and you can then run your application on that target, and will show up in the emulator. For time, I'm not gonna do that, but the same behavior is if you have a device. So since we're receiving a device, I hope that you'll take the opportunity to install the IVI stack on that device. And I found, just playing with it this week, it works very well. I just have, if you have a wireless network that can work, or just one cable with a fixed IP on both, works well for debugging. So right here I've got a larger version of what you'll have. This is the NDIS 166, which is our old reference hardware for IVI. But the Nook that you'll receive has the same features. But just having a cable to your system, and then let me just show you what I did. So it's connected. I set the IP address to, we're on screen, good, to 194. So it's connected now, and you have to run a couple of a service on here that starts the smart development bridge listener on the device. And once that's running, you can connect to it from the console. So I was gonna have the monitor maybe showing this, but that wasn't feasible here. So I just SSH in. And just so it shows, I log in as they have a couple of developer. They have a root and an app developer or account, and you. This is described online under the links I told you about the SDK. So you don't have to write all this down. But I'm starting a service that will listen. And then the second piece of this script is simply a tool that would send sample data to your application, similar to how we saw it working in the web simulator, so your application can receive some data. That's not going to be important for our demo, which you can't see what's going on. But from the SDK perspective, once you've started the listener here, then within the SDK, they have a nice tool down here called the command bar, and you can use SDB here or go to a shell and connect your system to that device. So now I'm connected, and you'll see that it showed up here. So just like the emulator, now I have both the emulator available to my application to run in, or if you have your device, it'll show up here in the connection manager. And at that point, you can send your application there. With the AM, the message broker sending in sample information, you can simulate what would happen in a car. The message broker is the system service that listens and receives the information from the sensors in the car and makes it available to your application. And they have some test scripts so you can set any value in the car for debugging to make sure your application behaves as you expect when that event comes in. Both the emulator and the device now have the ability to, you can have a shell. So same with the device. So we were SSHing into our box, but the emulator also has a shell here so you can look around. You can check out what the files are. Using the smart development bridge, you can send and receive files and manipulate the image in that way. So you have full control over your targets, and you have a nice environment for your application so that you can see what it would be like running. And then with free hardware being handed out today, there's really nothing preventing you from completing your task and getting your application completed. You don't have to buy a Land Rover, or they'd probably like you to, though, with the Tizen system in it to get your application written. Okay, let's make sure. Let me just, a generic application requirement that's not specific to IVI, but inside the config.xml, this really describes, this is like your system, your application's manifest. If you've written applications for other stores, you know that you have to specify what features or privileges your application expects. So that's set up in the config.xml. Every project needs that. And here, let's make it a little more visible. This is arbitrary, but my application requires that the system that it's going to run on have a GPS. When they're doing the filtering in the store, it won't show your application if the system that is looking for that application doesn't have the features you've specified. Okay, and you can look at the available features here, generally hardware features, most of which should be available on compliant systems. And then the privileges are the things your application requires to be accessible to it to work correctly. In this case, again, I just arbitrary, but you'll need the vehicle for the IVI API. You'll need to have the vehicle privilege specified, and that's the advantage of using a template to start. It'll kind of show you these things, but you can add others. This one allows me to read the contacts or whether information that you, a lot of this is from either the vehicle API or the device API because you're accessing sensitive or hardware information. So you have to specify that. When your application gets installed, then the user may be prompted for, do you want to allow this application to do this particular thing? So they have a chance to accept that and be aware the application is doing that for security purposes. Okay, last note is, just a plug for the Intel XDK. As a nice tool for web application development, it doesn't have the ability the Tizen SDK has as far as the richness of the emulation, the device, or any of the vehicle APIs. But for basic crosswalk-based applications, I know many are interested in creating applications that will work in an Android store today, and we're looking at Tizen in the future. The XDK allows you to create and bundle your application now for those that store, as well as prepare that application. Then you can bring it to the SDK to add the IVI-specific features. So you can take a look at that on the website. It's an interesting tool set. And that is what I have. So I'll open the time up for any questions you may have. Yes?
Hi. Just wondering, is the SDK sort of targeted for OEMs to develop instrument clusters?
There are tools that are available for that, but the SDK is really focused on application development right now. There is some system development tools available, and we would like to put them together. But right now, the SDK really is a web application development tool set primarily. There's some things you can do. I mean, you can use it in the emulator, for example. Is if you have the emulator that comes with the SDK, then you can do a little bit more low-level native type things, working on HMI or whatever. But it's not part of the IDE. Yes.
What version of WebKit?
Crosswalk. So Blink is the new web renderer that Google forked from WebCore. That's from WebKit, and I don't know what the comparable version was or what the version was that they split.
So what about Blink's?
That's right, and we'll continue to be moved forward to keep up with what's going on in Blink and Chromium. Yes?
Can we debug native apps with the SDK?
Can you debug native apps with the SDK? You can. You can put your application in the SDK native code, and yes, you can walk through C code in the SDK. The SDK, for example, the mobile SDK supports native application development, and there's a lot of documentation on how to get that to work. It specifically talks about the OSP API set, the C++-based API set that was used for mobile, but the capabilities are there. CDT, the plugin for Eclipse that allows you to do native application development, is available in there, can be used. Yes?
General question here. How does the Tizen IVI system actually leverage the phone as the connectivity, or as actually using the in-car connectivity? What is this? Is there any differences in that?
How does the Tizen IVI system leverage?
See, I have a phone in my car, my smartphone, right? The IVI system, the in-car system, does it actually leverage this to go connect to the internet, or is actually using the embedded LTE or whatever the automaker's doing?
I think that can be implementation specific. I mean, I think the design is for the car to have those capabilities by default. So you would be connecting through the car's Bluetooth capability, but I don't know if, I mean, I don't know about that. That's a good question. I will say the architect for the Tizen IVI system is speaking next. He may have some more insight into that, into the design and plans. Okay, if there's no other questions, thanks for coming.